The title of the first presentation this morning is Biosolids Application Effects in Overgrazed Rangeland. And the presenter is myself, Jim Ippolito. And before I begin, I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors, Mr. Mike Sharp, Mr. Kip Parker, and Mr. Wayne Schultz. And these three gentlemen work for Parker Ag Services, the largest land applicator of biosolids in the state of Colorado. And I'd also like to acknowledge Mr. Bob Brobst. And if you're in the biosolids land application research industry, you probably know Bob or know of his name. He works for US EPA Region 8. But on this project, he's actually part of Colorado State University, and this is part of his PhD program. At least a portion of this project is part of his PhD program. Give you a brief background. Many of you know that when we apply biosolids in terms of beneficial reuse programs, these programs effectively recycle these nutrients in, I feel, an environmentally sound manner, as long as we apply based on the agronomic rates of a crop to be grown. And that meaning applying biosolids based on the nitrogen requirements of a crop in most cases. However, when we look at overgrazed rangelands, we run into some difficulties because we're not growing a true crop, per se. And so determining agronomic rates for overgrazed rangelands can be rather challenging in terms of supplying adequate nitrogen for a quote crop to be grown. And in terms of overgrazed rangelands, what we're really trying to do is increase productivity at these sites. And so we're trying to increase biomass production at the same time. In terms of an ecological perspective, we're trying to increase species diversity on some of these locations. And finally, last but not least, we're trying to improve soil quality or prevent further degradation of soil quality. So the project I'm going to present this morning is not a true project per se in the view of most of the research realm, in that I'm not going to present you data from a randomized complete block design with four replicates in the middle of eastern Colorado. What I'm going to show you today is a project that takes, it's essentially the culmination of all the research we've collected over the years in the biosolids land application research industry and applying it in a real world situation. And this real world situation, at least in Colorado, has occurred in Lamar, Colorado on an overgrazed rangeland, which received New York City biosolids in 1999 at increase in application rates. There's no replication. They're on very large research plots, if you will. Increase in application rates of biosolids from 0 up to 20 dry tons per acre. I apologize, I didn't change these units to metric. Nonetheless, 0 to 20 dry tons per acre application rate, a 1 to 2 dry ton per acre application rate in 1999 was considered, quote, agronomic. That was kind of a rough guesstimate, if you will, in 1999. And if you see these research plots, they're not 56 by 224 feet long. These are real application sites. 160 acres, ranges from 20 to 160 acres. The biosolids at this site or these sites were surface applied with no incorporation, pretty typical for overgrazed rangelands. They met the Table 3 metals limits. The limiting element was lead, which didn't meet Table 1 metals. And at these sites, samples were taken somewhat sporadically over the last 7 or 8 years. So we don't have a complete data set, but like I said earlier, what we're doing is giving you a picture of the real world. And in 2000, actually in 1999 after application, there were enclosures placed at the site. In 2000, individual plant species were collected at this site to characterize or quantify plant species diversity. In 2004, plant biomass was determined. And from that plant biomass, we also determined plant protein content, acid detergent fiber, or a measure of the digestibility or the materials that a ruminant would have a difficult time digesting. And we also determined phosphorus, iron, manganese, copper, and zinc concentrations in that plant material. Within the enclosures in 2003, soil samples were taken within the top 30 centimeters for ABDTP extractable elements, which gives us an indication of plant available nutrients, if you will, if you're not familiar with that extraction. And then in 2006, we determined field saturated hydraulic conductivity using a single ring infiltrometer on the 0 and 10 dry ton per acre application rates. And at that same time, we measured porosity, bulk density, and antecedent moisture content of the soil on the 0, 10, and 20 dry ton per acre application rates. And it's really sad that we don't have data for the saturated hydraulic conductivity on the 20 dry tons to match the data we collected on the bottom of the screen. We were about a fifth to a tenth of the way through collecting that data, and we had a 500-year rain event at this site, which would have skewed our data. So you're not going to see that data today, unfortunately. Results for plants. In 2000, plant species were collected from the zero, the agronomic rate, and the 5 dry ton per acre application rate. And what we observed from this data 1 year after application was an increase in the number of plant species present, which was rather interesting because the research we performed at Colorado State University tells us that increase in biosolids application rate tends to decrease the number of plant species present on a site. Now, if we look at the actual plant species present at this site, we see some good plant species, if you will, and some bad plant species, if you will. The good plant species are species like blue gramma and buffalo grass, which are late cereal species. These are the late successional plant species that you typically find on shortgrass steppes, so these are considered good. Squirrel tail grass and three on grass are mid-cereal species, meaning that they're in the midway of succession at this research site or these plots, and these may be remnants of the overgrazing. And then if you look at the in this set of data, the highest application rate, we see some undesirables like Russian thistle, tansy mustard, and prickly lettuce. And these plant species are considered weed species. They are nitrogen-loving species. If you know about these plant species, see a lot of heads nodding. And we feel that these plant species, given time after the nitrogen is mined from that system, if you will, that these plant species will definitely disappear. If we look at plant biomass on the y-axis versus sampling year, we note generally, year after year, that increasing biosolids application rate increases plant biomass or plant productivity at this research site. Now the data is a little dirty, it's a little scattered, depending on the year. In the last 7 or 8 years in Colorado, we've been going through drought conditions, and depending on the time of year that these plants were sampled, we have some skew in the data. But generally speaking, we see an increase in plant biomass with increasing biosolids application rate, and we've all seen that before in this research industry. If we look at protein content, generally speaking, protein content increased with increasing biosolids application rate per year. Again, the data is a little scattered because of the drought conditions we've been experiencing in Colorado. If we look at acid detergent fiber content, or the amount of plant material that's not easily digestible and broken down by ruminants, we see that actually somewhat increasing with increasing biosolids application rate. And this could be a function of both the biosolids application itself or the time of year that the plant species were collected. And others have noted that when you collect plant species, it's dependent on the time of year. For example, from pre-bud to late flowering stage, acid detergent fiber tends to increase. And I can't tell you exactly when these plant species were collected, but this data may be a function of that. If we look at plant phosphorus content, pretty much like all of the other data we've collected over the last 30 to 50 years on biosolids land application, we see an increase in plant phosphorus concentrations with increasing biosolids application rate. And if we look at plant iron content, we see the same trends. And plant manganese, the trend is following the same trend as the other two elements that we presented. Increase in biosolids application rate increases plant manganese concentration. Plant copper increases. It's not very exciting data, but it's showing us what we found year after year after year in all of our long-term research plots in Colorado. And then plant zinc concentrations increase. So overall, we can say that with increasing biosolids application, we see an increase in plant nutritive status, if you will. And that supports the data that we've collected for years on biosolids land application. If we look at the results for soils, the ABDTPA is really easy to show you. The elemental concentrations were near or below the detection limits, and so it's really not necessary to show you any of that data. I think the reason behind this, these concentrations being so low, the biosolids were surface applied with no incorporation, and we probably diluted those metals by taking a 30 centimeter sampling depth. However, when we look at some of these other physical characteristics, for example, field-saturated hydraulic conductivity, the data gets really interesting. And what this is showing you here is field-saturated hydraulic conductivity on the y-axis versus meters along a transect. And what we did was we pulled a 50-meter transect in these plots and collected saturated hydraulic conductivity every 2 meters up to about 30 meters. And then I'll tell you honestly, we got tired because it takes very long to do this work. And we collected the last 10 meters, 40 and 50 meters along this transect. And you see here, this is the control or no biosolids added. And the saturated hydraulic conductivity ranged between 1 times 10 to the minus 3 to 5 times 10 to the minus 4 centimeters per second. If we compare that to the 10 dry time per acre application rate, we see a shift, or we see an increase in the field saturated hydraulic conductivity. And that's really interesting. Why? So we tried to go about answering this question, why do we see this shift? We had some ideas. Let me show if I can, if I have a few more minutes here, I'll show you what we think is happening in this site. So at this research site, we collected soil porosity data from the control 10 and 20 dry time per acre application rates along these transects. And if you try real hard, you can maybe tease some data out and separate some data. But overall, the porosity really overlaps within these three systems. There's really no difference in soil porosity. If we look at soil bulk density, again, there's really no difference. You may be able to tease a little bit of the data out, but there's really no difference in bulk density in this system. But if we looked at antecedent moisture content, we see, you know, a pretty strong trend of separation between this data. We've got the control at the bottom, the 10 dry tons pretty much in the center of this figure, and then the 20 dry ton per acre application rate at the high end. Now this site, I can tell you, received on average less than 20 centimeters of rain per year over the last 7 or 8 years. And it was very dry when we collected this data. Nonetheless, we see, and the soil moisture content is very low, but nonetheless, we see a separation in this data, which we think relates back to field saturated hydraulic conductivity. And we're working on this currently, but we feel there's one of two things. One being the application of biosolids to the soil surface has increased organic matter content in the soil surface. Or two, the biosolids application increased biomass, it increased productivity at this site. That over a 7 year period has increased plant matter content, or the degradation of plant matter content, and an increase in organic matter content in the soil surface. Thus the separation in moisture holding capacity of the system, or a combination of both. So in conclusion, biosolids land application at rates of up to 20 dry tons per acre increased biomass production. It's increased species diversity at this site, probably not in a good way early on, but hopefully in a good way in the later years. It's improved plant nutritive status in terms of phosphorus, copper, manganese, iron, and zinc concentrations. It's improved soil quality by increasing both hydraulic conductivity and the water holding capacity of the system. And all of these we feel is improving this rangeland in southeastern Colorado. Thank you. And we have about 1 minute for questions. Yes?
Have you tried, and I don't know if it's possible about the situation, to work any of that in, or work in an airway or anything, or increase that by turning the biosolids down into putting that
way? Yeah, the question was, have we tried to increase, I'm assuming, the incorporation. Yeah, incorporation of biosolids using some technique. And we haven't done this at this site. The Park Rag Service has actually done that to some extent on some rangeland with range pitting, but I don't have any data for that, unfortunately. They've tried that. Yes?
Just wondering if you know anything about the molybdenum status of the crops there, because it could be interesting to a lot of arid areas have high molybdenum, so the increase in copper may be beneficial from an animal nutrition standpoint.
Yeah, that's right, and that's a good question. The question was, do we have any data for molybdenum in plant tissue concentration, in terms of plant tissue concentrations? And at this site, we don't, but we've noted in some areas where we have high molybdenum concentrations in the soil and in the plant prior to land application, that land application actually increases copper content and offsets the issues with copper to molybdenum ratio.
Thank you.